96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
We're sitting in a different chair, and this is an entirely different way to produce the show. It's kind of a different feel.
No, you have to produce it yourself.
I gotta pay attention to so many different things, and we know, like, the way for me to be good at this is point me in one direction and say, just drive the show. Well, now I gotta pay attention to three and four different things. Anyway, welcome to the Accredited Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and I am already waving my Bahamian flag because tonight it's gonna be a movie.
I'm John Mark, and I got 8 hours of sleep last night.
That is actually very impressive.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. That's really impressive.
The older you get, the more impressive it is.
Yeah, to get that done, to actually commit to 8 hours, whew, lead a charmed life. If you want to join in on the conversation, it'll not be about any of this stuff, not our sleeping habits or any of that. Join in on the conversation, hit us up on the telephone lines. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 300-5720, or hit us up on the text line powered by BTC. That's 422-4796. What's the lead?
I think Carter reads the lines better. That's the lead.
You think so?
Maybe puts more animation into it. Also, you forgot to say it's toll free 242-300-5720.
I don't think any of our listeners know about having to. How many people do you think listen to this right now know about having to pay a toll when they dial and call a number?
Well, they don't pay it. The number pays the toll. That's why it's toll free.
Anyway, John.
You ever call it 1-800 number?
No.
So it's the person that you call, the 1-800 number pays for it. It's like it's like prison, but not prison.
I don't know how prison works, John. Anyway, so what's the lead this week? Obviously, unless you've been living under a rock, you have to know that Team Bahamas, CONCACAF, Beach Soccer World Championships, the buzz has been crazy this week. And now they play for an opportunity to make Bahamian history, to make beach soccer history tonight at 8 p.m. against Guatemala at the Malcolm Park Beach Soccer Facility. If they win, they are headed to the World Cup.
Seychelles.
They are headed to Seychelles, and I know y'all don't know where that is, but
it's off the coast of Africa.
Figure it out.
In the Indian Ocean.
Go to your AI software, go to Google, figure it out, because we're all going to have to do that, because we're all going to have to learn about Seychelles based on tonight. And you have been out there for every game this week, John. We've covered this event. I think this is the fourth time the Bahamas has hosted this event. This one has obviously taken on a different tone, a different feeling, because now the stakes are at its highest. We win this game, we're one of the two finalists in this tournament we're in. What are your thoughts going into tonight?
Well, my thoughts is going to be, before I get into the Bahamas thing, I really thought three to make the third place game worth something, because literally all the eggs are in this basket right here. This is it. This, like, to me, the climax is, yeah, you make the World Cup, right? But also the opportunity to play in a third, fourth place game, and you're literally playing for just pride. Not that much fun. But this is a show, and, you know, we love the regression talk. We always have that quarterback regression talk. This is progression.
Yes.
With Team Bahamas, because 2017, we hosted the World Cup, right? Then we hosted a CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championships. I think we got to the quarterfinals and we bowed out. We've been getting to the quarterfinals, We always were able to get out of group play into the quarterfinals, and then we wouldn't make it. And the last one in 2023, you knock the wall down. You make it to the semifinals. You make it the furthest you've ever made it before. This is almost the same core of that team from 2017 to now. So if we have to say anything, this is our golden beach soccer generation. This is what you have to call it.
I feel like it's the only beach soccer generation.
Yes. No, but it's crazy to say that you started it and the success that they've had has been instant. It's not like...
We're thinking like a 10-year time span, right?
Yeah, 10-year.
2014.
Yeah. Now, 10, so 11, it's roughly. Like usually these things take time to be able to get to, like, oh, you're at a point where it's like, oh, no, we're knocking on CONCACAF door. We're ranked fifth in
the region. In the region, yeah.
We're going to be going up probably if once we win this game tonight, because that's the whole objective, to win the game. So it's just steps. Steps was we made to the semifinals. We made it to the third period last time. The game was tied. Ended up losing the game. But now you have that same core playing this game coming up. I'm feeling good about what it is. And things have fallen our way, except the first game that you caused us to lose.
Yeah, sorry. But
things are falling our way because if there's two teams you don't want to play, and this is just me speaking, watching, seeing how the countries have gone, is Mexico and El Salvador. I feel El Salvador is the strongest team in the region by far. Stronger than USA, stronger than whoever. Guatemala and Mexico, I think Mexico is a little step ahead of Guatemala, even though Guatemala beat them. But that's like us beating USA. You hit them at the right time, you beat them. We play USA 10 times, we might lose 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes. So the cards falling in place where we have a very winnable game and we have a very good shot of making this World Cup.
Yeah, and I mean, before we even talk about Guatemala in the matchup, I just want to highlight, because for the people out there that may not be as tapped in and know the players that you're going out there to watch, I think some of the standouts, Wood Julmus has been great as a goal scorer. Brandon Adley has been great as a goal scorer. Michael Butler's been great in goal. And, you know, those are just a few players to single out. But we know that this has been a collective team effort. The team has been in and out here on this show. So we've been talking to them personally about what they expected. And, you know, you saw how high the expectations were for them. We saw how bullish they were on their opportunities. And if you didn't know any better, you'd think that, well, you know, these guys trying to punch above their weight class. But no, they are going out there and they're playing true to everything that they thought. And we're seeing it play out there. And now, this game against Guatemala, like you said, the Spanish-speaking country is all very strong. All mm-hmm. very strong in beach soccer. When we play them, it's like we always hit a wall. Bahamas basketball used to hit that wall too, until it finally breaks down. This is the game, I think, so much more than this tournament, just for the program psychologically moving forward. This is a game that could change everything.
Yeah, no, and like you say, we've struggled against countries before in basketball. But the only way you get better is if you move on in these tournaments and move on to play bigger tournaments, more competition. So it's like, you remember, back in the day, Bahamas was CBC. Right?
Yep.
So we're playing Jamaica, USVI, Cuba. Like, that's a competition we only played. It's when they changed it to the World Cup qualifiers, we started playing Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, USA, Canada, Mexico, like on a consistent basis. And it shows how the program grew. This program is growing in beach soccer, and it doesn't get, I mean, you've always said it, and I agree. I feel we should put all of our eggs into beach soccer, because you remember to do a field soccer, and I understand field soccer is the cream of the crop of soccer.
And I'm sure there are some things that have to be in place FIFA to be able to get the funding.
You're still going to have that field soccer, but you need to be able to identify the talent, because you need 5 people on the field at one time. You need 10 players in total to play beach soccer. It's like basketball. The smaller the sport, 3-on-3 basketball, there's some countries who are playing 3-on-3 and they're being successful. So it's something where I feel, I hope now for today, remember, it's free. It's free to go out there.
Oh, yeah. If it's Saturday night, this is the game. The stadium should be packed. Should be packed. We ain't even got to say sold out, because like you said, you just get to walk in.
It's free. And when I mean sold out, at capacity.
Standing room only.
Yeah, it should be at capacity. Guys, they have bars there. They have food trucks. They have everything there that if you want to get food. Remember, you're not paying for these tickets. And you're going to be able to see a chance of history.
History being
which
made.
Which is the biggest thing. Because, like I keep saying, well, I went online and I looked at one of the AI like betting sites.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they have it at 5-5. That's what the AI says. So it's pretty much a 50-50 toss-up.
Ooh.
Of, yeah.
So to give you, I want to give a quick rundown of what Guatemala has done in the tournament. They opened with a 4-3 win over Mexico. They were blanked 7-0 to El Salvador, who jumped. You know what? El Salvador's president is pretty staunch on crime. I wonder if he's the same way with their beach soccer program, they're so good.
One thing I can say with El Salvador is there's only a couple countries you always hear hosting these CONCACAF tournaments.
Yeah.
They're Bahamas and El Salvador. It seems like it goes through El Salvador, Bahamas, a country, El Salvador, Bahamas. Like, we're always in that cycle.
And also Guatemala beat Costa Rica 5-1 on Thursday. So they come in with the same record as us coming out of the group stage, 2-1. Their only loss is to the team that John mentioned is probably the best team here. So
yeah,
you know what you have going up against a team like Guatemala. And the Bahamas has had their high goal scoring games as well. I mean, the one that we should have had, we know we should have had game one against Panama. Turns out the way things shook didn't hurt us in the end. Yeah. Still end up winning the group stage. Then you have the 3-2 win over the USA, which I thought was a big game.
No,
that was huge. That was a must win.
To me, that was something where that game could have easily have been you fold in from the first game. Like, it's a character build from playing Panama. And I'll say this, Panama won the game.
Mm-hmm.
Panama wasn't the better team. No. But Panama won the game.
I feel like we gave it away.
We did give it away.
Chicken or the egg argument.
But you got to give credit to Panama for coming back. Yes, you do. You come back. They were tough. But to me, that might be a blessing for Bahamas because they had it. And now all of a sudden,
You're going with the good. If you're going to lose one,
you lose it early. You lose it early.
So you got
that taste in your mouth.
College football.
Yeah. And you're like, you know what? We can't afford to make these simple mistakes again. And hey, came out and beat USA. And Jumlis had a big goal where he stole it from the goalkeeper and he put it in the back of the net. Timothy
Munnings,
Spider Monkey, what's his name? he scored a big goal.
And had a big celebration.
I mean, keep the shirt on, bro. We can't afford yellow cards or red cards or whatever it is because you just never know.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. Hey, do it in the group stage. Don't do it in this stage.
Right.
You score a goal here. You know what I want? I want another goal. I want two goals.
That's how you celebrate?
If you score two goals, you're allowed to do it again.
All right. So we got what it is. Two goals and then you can celebrate with the shirt off. But this is the matchup. Oh, and then we went to Trinidad and Tobago.
And that's a whole different... That's a rivalry game. I don't care what anyone says. Yes.
It's a rivalry game for both of us point. Like,
it's on paper, says one thing, right? Because Panama beat them convincingly, right? USA got taken the penalty. So you know they were a good team. Man,
beach soccer is so unpredictable with this because if you were watching this from start to finish, some of the results seem odd.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the crazy thing. The El Salvador-Mexico game, right? El Salvador was up 7-0, right? In the second period with 2 minutes left.
And Mexico comes back,
scores 6 goals in a row.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm saying I like the matchup against Guatemala because I feel Mexico showed against El Salvador, like, they have that firepower to just get it done. I'm not saying Guatemala doesn't have it. I just feel our matchup against Guatemala is way better.
And matchups are everything. And in that Trinidad game, the Bahamas showed its ability to have a high goal scoring performance. And the thing about it is, it was back and forth the entire time. So you had to answer. And maybe that goes back to what you were saying about them experiencing that adversity in the first game.
Remember, they were up 2-0 against Panama.
Right. So going through that adversity in the first game, you know, Trinidad Tobago comes out and scores a goal. We got to respond. We respond, we tie it, then we go ahead, and then it seesaws back and forth the entire time until you got 4-4 going into the third, which is high drama at its best. 4-4 going into the third period, and Kyle Williams scores the goal, and that's it. We beat them again.
Again, but Kyle, I don't remember when he scored. I think it was like 2 minutes left or 3 minutes
left. It was pretty late in the game. It was around that time frame.
It was late, but let me tell you, those 2 minutes, because remember, beat soccer is quick. It is. I could shoot the ball from anywhere and hit the goal. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just how it is. It's not like 2 minutes in regular soccer where you could like hold the ball and this. The goalkeepers could come to a certain point and pick the ball up and do whatever. But trust me, that last, and I'm the type where it's like, I feel like you still gotta attack and not, you know, hold back unless you know
that's the, you know what, that's the football mentality. Yeah, that's you can't just be in the prevent.
Yeah,
you can't.
It's just like you gotta, because TNT were pressing more, and I feel like that's more opportunity to try to get a shot in, to do something. But hey, they won the game. We're in the semifinals, and I really have high hopes that we're going to be, you know, lifting up a. We're going to the World Cup today.
Yeah, and so to give you the stakes, as long as you, the two finalists, like John said, should be three, but the two finalists from the CONCACAF East Soccer Championships, they booked their ticket to Seychelles. And we spoke about offline about how important it is, just from a psychological and from a program standpoint, to be an outright qualifier. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we played in it before when we were the host. The host gets a bid into the tournament. But to outright qualify, that is something obviously unprecedented in our beach soccer program. And I think what it does is, and what I hope it'll do, which should have been happening over the course of this 10 years. You mentioned this being the core from the last time we were at this spot, but how do we build on that? Are we using the development of the grass game to, I guess, pick off the players that are right for this program, or will we be training? Will we be looking at investing the resources and the time and the development into beach soccer specifically? Because I don't know if we're doing that.
I mean, when I was talking to the coaches, when I was talking to Gavin, apparently there's only like three facilities in the world,
yeah,
soccer facilities, and we have one of them. We need to use it more. And if we need to use it more of just saying, hey, we need to invite more teams down here for the tourism product of saying, hey, beach soccer tourism. Basketball has a Summer of Thunder. Why not have, you know, Summer of Sand or something like that, where you could bring these teams in over the summer, even if the local pro teams from Europe, USA, national teams, bring them in, and because that's the only way you're going to get better. Like, remember when we had the players here, they talked about how important it was to play Tahiti before playing these matches. Yeah, they may not have won all, they won one, but it's just a competition level that you get
it
to
also
play.
And it also made them feel like, hey, we can run with anybody.
Yeah, no.
That was one of the things that stood out to me in that interview with them, because like they said, playing against Tahiti, going up against the fifth ranked team in the world, and they're not dominating us. They're not blowing us out.
No.
Like, we can run with them.
Like, you could see that, like they say, the fitness is there. They're in shape. And Gary's an enjoyment on the mic. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not going to go to watch the soccer, you can go to listen to Gary. And Gary is a show on his own.
Gary Markham is a part of the experience, much like Dutch and Tango were a part of the experience with the N1 mixtape or playing basketball on Rucker Park,
yep,
where they're a part of the game. It's like John Madden calling football.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, he is a part of it. That's what it is.
So it's like you could listen to him. Just one of my favorite things was when he said, you know, because he makes fun of the referee sometimes.
And explains the game to people,
yeah,
too. So
exactly.
I think that part is also very important, because for a casual like me who may not know anything about this stuff, sometimes his explanation goes a long way.
Because he was like, we might need to get VAR over in beach soccer, because the guy from Trinidad and Tobago, and I have the photos, and everyone in the stadium saw him extend his arm to block the ball, except the four referees.
the most important people.
Yeah.
The only ones that actually need to see
it. And it was just like, everyone saw it, and it's like, why wasn't that called? That should have been a penalty, but we haven't had that much success with penalties in this tournament.
Boy. So what I think I want to get back to the development part for a bit, and you mentioned actually using this more, using our resources, and maybe if it's not in the stadium, fine, but I mean, we sure got a whole lot of sand. Like,
got a whole lot of beaches.
We got a whole lot of beaches. Youth beach soccer, pretty much non-existent.
No, I haven't heard. I know they've tried. I know the women's program is going on. Oh, that's something new.
That is something new. I feel like I should let you deal with that.
We have a caller.
And I could filibuster.
What do we press?
Do we press the green button? John, just press something.
Yes, you do.
There you go. Caller, you're on.
You actually got my ears sticking up when you said we don't use our resources. And that's yet another way to use the resource of the beach, the sun, sand, and sea, eh, for sports.
Yeah, absolutely. And for this specifically, we're talking beach soccer. So, I mean, the beaches are right there.
I mean, you could have beach soccer, beach volleyball, beach, a million things on the beach, eh? So, 50 years, since they say it's a Christian country, I like the story of the talent. We've hidden our talent. God gave us all this talent. Instead of growing it, we just hid it in the sand. And I guess whenever he does come back, we say, look, this is what we did. You know, biggest natural resource is the sun in this country. And we haven't even harnessed that after 50 years to get rid of these pesky light bills. But I like that. Just want to let you know I'm going to add that to my repertoire of natural resources. What we're not doing as it pertains to sports, that's a whole other segment. So thank you for giving me that tidbit to my arsenal.
No problem.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. So, absolutely.
I'm just impressed we figured out the phone lines.
Yeah, I think that is a win for us. Small victories. Small victories. So, absolutely, we have the resources to be competing in this sport. It's a part of the reason, obviously, why FIFA decided to build the structure here in the first place. But we have not been taking advantage of anything outside of that to develop. What happens when this team ages out? Leslie St. Floor, we mentioned it, the greatest goal scorer in beach soccer in Bahamian history, one of the best in the region. He is eventually going to age out of the game, much like the rest of these players are. We saw Gavin Christie move from on the pitch to now a member of the coaching staff. Same thing with Torin Ferguson, who was a goalkeeper. I remember him being a goalkeeper early on. But what are we doing to develop that next generation? I don't think the approach of just relying on the players who play the grass game to come over is the way we should do it. I think kids should be fully entrenched into beach soccer culture very on. Whether it's at the stadium, whether it's on Goodman's Bay, any one of these beaches should be in the school system, should be club programs. The model is already there. Why are we not doing it?
It's almost like basketball to a point where you build a court, you have a hoop, you have a ball.
The barrier of entry is so easy
to play. Whereas, like you said, we have so many beaches in the Bahamas here. Why not try to designate some beaches and put up soccer goals or makeshift goals?
Don't even need shoes.
Yeah.
You just need the ball. All right. We got another call on the line. Caller, go ahead.
Hello?
Yep. You're on.
Hey, Ronaldo Dorsett.
Yes, sir.
Travis Allen, St. John's, buddy.
Hey, what's happening, Travis?
Oh, that's glad you're doing well. It's a great show, man.
Appreciate that.
I listen to it every weekend. You guys doing an awesome job, man.
I appreciate that.
In reference to the idea your friend just mentioned, we have all these islands in the Bahamas, man. You understand, Nassau, everything is Nassau-centric, and we could use some of these other islands to endorse and enforce these things as well. Help persons build these type of stadiums that are here now in Nassau on these other family islands, and then that would be more conducive to the younger generation trying to learn, and like more people like you guys, and I think the companies are coming behind you guys as well, because y'all do an excellent job. I know y'all like to do things for free and things too, but you know what I mean, to move it forward.
Yeah,
I think you guys have to be endorsed, man, fully by even private and government entities.
Yeah, it's all about
doing an awesome job, man.
It's all about getting to that next step, right? Because for us,
exactly,
just like you mentioned, and I didn't even think of it from that perspective, but if we have more of these facilities built, let me not even say the facility, because people will talk about funding when it comes to that. We got the beaches already. If we just focus and concentrate on us, there could be kids on every island just not exposed to beach soccer, not even knowing that it's a possibility, because we're not really taking it to them.
That's right.
All right,
man. You guys continue to do well.
All right. Appreciate the call, Travis.
All right, buddy.
But he's right. You remember our old beach soccer stadium that was there? It was just a barrier.
Right.
And it had sand in it. To me, that's the simple. It's cheaper to do that than to build a basketball court.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you could start building parks and saying, I mean, it was brought up with the first caller. You got beach volleyball. You got beach so much stuff mm-hmm. that you can make a beach volleyball court. You could make a beach, beach sand soccer field. It's just a barrier. Some of them don't even have barriers. It's just grass that are on the side of it, and you just go.
For me, I think the biggest part is that I honestly think kids just don't know. I think they just don't know, and they're not exposed to the possibility that this could be a thing. And I think that's kind of where we're failing at this. Because yes, when we have the big major, events, and we've hosted a lot of them. And that's one way of exposure. But for the most part, this is a crowd that's already into soccer. I'm talking about the people on the fringes who just have maybe a tangential connection. Or you could take a kid that's an athlete but may not be as good at track, right? Maybe you come in 6th and 7th in the 100 meters, but you could teach me how to play beach soccer.
Volleyball. Look at Donald Thomas. Donald Thomas was a basketball player, and what did he do?
Yeah.
Ended up becoming a high jumper. Like, there's possibilities behind...
Still doing it.
Probably. I know, still doing it, which is insane.
A legend on a LeBron, Tom Brady-type level. Donald Thomas at 40, still doing it on the global stage. We got another caller. Caller, go ahead.
Sorry for calling you all back, but listen, you got my brain going a million miles a minute.
Let's go.
Olympic sports on the beach. How many of them we got? You just said volleyball, soccer. You got the list of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we beat up everybody else per capita. We're probably the number one in the world for winning gold medals. Why haven't we entered that sector? The water sports that are in Olympics. I mean, we're surrounded by it, right? Like you said, you don't got to be government. They could save a bunch of money instead of doing all the basketball courts. They could do 50% that, 50% these things on the beach.
I think
so maybe one of you should consider the Ministry of Sports and Youth. I think that'd be a good place for you to go because you can think. I mean, we've had 50 years and the others haven't thought about it, right?
Listen, if it was that easy, I wish it was that easy for us to walk in there and say, hey, these are some great ideas that you should implement. But we both know.
I can leave you with this thought. It's this easy. You have social media. You could go on TikTok and gather 30,000 youth to vote for you. And you'd be the person in there tomorrow. But you have to take that first step. When you're ready, give me a call.
We got you. Thanks a lot, Graham. Could we be decision makers in government?
I mean, we're decision makers in a company. That's pretty...
that's some chaos, these people. You think they want a part of that chaos?
To a point.
We got one more caller before the break. Caller, go ahead.
Connor and Aldo.
Yes, sir.
I endorse that message.
the people want us to run.
The people have spoken.
All right. We may have to get into it. All right, man. Thanks. We ain't wearing suits, though.
No.
All right, so that'll do it. We're about to enter the half. When we get back, I want to talk some NBA, and I want to talk about how things have changed for Buddy Hield and Jimmy Butler since Buddy got a second Bahamian, because Jimmy Butler is a kind of Bahamian, right?
Dominoes, man.
Yeah, he knows enough about dominoes, but we'll be back after this break.
Try to rest, but go with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Calling all Alive Fiber basketball fans. Get ready to experience the NBA Finals live. You can enter an all-expense-paid trip to not one, but two NBA Finals games. It's simple. Just sign up for our Alive NBA League Pass or Infinite Sports X Package by May 16th. Stay connected, enjoy blazing fast internet, and score your chance to witness the NBA action up close. Don't miss out. Visit AliveFiber.com and take your shot at NBA glory. Terms and conditions apply. It's good to be alive.
Pinder is carrying a new line of tile. The Sky series of porcelain comes in four colors: Sky Noir, Sky Azure, Sky Green, and this one, Sky Glass. In this particular tile, I think you'll find coin gray, silver gray, cloud gray, and gray. All of these are seamlessly blended to make the Sky Glass one beautiful tile. The Sky series of porcelain comes in two formats, 24 by 24 at 530 a square foot, and 12 by 24 at 525 a square foot.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to The Accredited, powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and Paradise is the best show that I've watched since Game of Thrones came off the air.
I'm John Mark, and I'll be at the beach soccer facility tonight.
All of us are going to be there at the beach soccer facility tonight, John, and this is why you get paid the mediocre bucks. Perfect segue. The 2025 CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championships are here. Team Bahamas plays tonight at 8 p.m. in the semifinals against Guatemala. A reminder, we win and we're in. We're headed to the FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup 2025 in Seychelles. Go Google where it is, or ask ChatGPT. Free entry, so you can just walk right in the stadium, spend anything you need on the concessions, and just get ready to cheer. Non-stop energy, non-stop excitement. This is the time for the Junkanoo Beach Boys. If we are going to rally behind any team, and if it's one thing that brings Bahamians together, right?
Winning
and getting to wrap yourselves in the flag and just root for the Bahamas.
This is for all the Bahamas. This isn't just for this. Beach soccer community.
Not just for the soccer community.
This is the
community.
Entire Bahamas.
So we see this a lot, right? Whenever there's a national team, the pockets of support will come from that sport, obviously, because you have parents that have been involved since these guys were kids playing the game. You have people that are interested in the game that's going to come out. But I think when it gets to this level, when it gets to this point, yeah, you don't have to know nothing about soccer. That's fine. You don't even have to know the players. That's
the bandwagon
fine.
Is open.
The bandwagon is open. This is the time to do it. So let's fill the stadium tonight. Let's get standing room only. Let's fill it to capacity tonight at 8 p.m. against Guatemala. So we talked a lot of beach soccer in the first half of the show. I want to pivot for a bit. We had the GSSSA track and field meet just wrapped up. BAISS was the week before. We have nationals this upcoming week. Right now in the pool at the Betty Kelly Kenning Aquatic Center, there's Karifta trials going on. So obviously, you know, when March winds down, we're in the middle of March now, when March winds down and we look ahead to April, we think about Easter and we think about Karifta. Karifta swimming. We know the Bahamas has become a dominant force in this country. The expectations of that now, I think they're going after number 7, I think it is, going after their 7th in a row. So the Bahamas has become a powerhouse in youth swimming. So going after number 7, I want to talk about how different it is being the hunted rather than the hunter. Do you think it causes the program to take another leap just knowing you have to live up to the expectations? Or is it a different vibe when you're going just to try to chase that winning?
No, I think it's the competition level that we have with swimming. It's like it's one of those sports where you have to be versatile and you have to be able to hit certain times in a bunch of events. So the competition level there, because you see it, you have one person make it one year. The next year they don't make it because you have another stronger swimmer. So to me, the competition level is always going to drive them to want to do it. Like, you don't want to be that. Okay, let's put it in this aspect, and I'll go to track field. Imagine if you were SAC and you lose that first.
I don't like to imagine that.
After 30 years, and you was that first class to lose.
They
How
do it
do
now.
You think they feel?
They listen. let's take it back to BAISS. The amount of people that went to SAC during our generation that hit me up, that had the most disparaging things to say about these kids. It's really unfair. But no, you're right. And that's what I was talking about. The difference in being the hunted and the hunter. So now I have to live up to the expectations. There are kids now going to swim in Carifta in Trinidad and Tobago in a few weeks that only know the Bahamas is expected to win this because they've only been around it for
that's
the last
like Kaizen
6 years.
And the Patriots and Kaizen and LeBron. He only knew LeBron would make the finals.
All they don't know anything about the other Warriors years. All they knew was that their entry into the sport was that they have these people that shoot better than everyone and the Warriors are always supposed to be there. So for most of these kids, the kids on the younger side of the Carifta swimming team, all they know is our expectations is we're supposed to win. We're the greatest program in the region. We have to live up to that. So it'll be interesting to see how long this run just continues to go, right? Because I am always a fan of sustained excellence. I'm impressed every year that Bahamas Aquatics continues to do this. How long is the run going to go? For track and field, of course, track and field has an uphill battle constantly because they are going against the juggernaut. So in swimming, we're the juggernaut. Yeah. We know what the juggernaut is in track and field. Jamaica.
Jamaica just different. Like,
Jamaica just different.
To me, if you did go to BEISS, even GSSSA, you know that there's always a top team. SAC was always that top team with us growing up. So it isn't nothing new.
It's well, St. John's won nationals in 97. I always have to point that out to people because, that, I mean, I feel like nationals should always be
the... Did you go to
the
parade?
We had a dance.
There you go. You had a dance.
It was amazing. That was my first year there. And right away, I was like... This is what high school
and
is like.
And then the sustained excellence just went downhill from
I
there
mean,
when you got.
You know,
see what happens when you start cheering for a team? It just
Or Henry Roll got he parlayed the success of what he built at St. John's to get a job at Auburn and went to coach in the SEC and that changed things. Or that.
Maybe that.
It could be that. But anyway, so yeah. Track and field facing the uphill juggernaut of Jamaica. And like you were mentioning with champs. So culturally, I don't know what our... I think we're so diverse and we're so good at many different things. Culturally, we don't have that one thing that we go all into. I don't think we have that one that's our full identity, so to speak, right? So like when you think of different countries, if you think of America, you think what? You think football, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you think the Dominican Republic, you're going to think baseball. I don't know what's the sport that you think of what that behemoth
here,
connect to.
I feel
hold
it's
on
basketball.
So much. You think that is
I think it's basketball.
I think it is too.
I always tell people this, and people are going to disagree, and some people will agree. I feel track and field is our most successful sport.
By far, yeah.
By far. But basketball is our most popular sport. That's how I feel. Because let's be real. You go around, a lot of people, and you got to go to the barbershop talk. They're not talking about the track and field side of things. They're talking about what's going on in the NBA, mm-hmm. basketball. Now that we have the Bahamians in there, it actually helps. Michael Thompson being drafted helped that, you know, position. Rick Fox winning championship, Clay winning championship.
I feel like Lakers Celtics in the 80s really propelled all of that.
For sure. So it's something where I feel track and field, like we produce such great individual athletes. And we always had like Shawnee, Stevie, you know, Chris Brown, we're going back to the legend, Donald Thomas. You know, you have those athletes, Pauline Davis, Tom.
You ain't got to name them all.
Yeah.
You're going to end up missing people.
Exactly. But you know, you have so much. And then we got to a point where we had so much success with four of them, with Sandra Stirrup and Debbie Ferguson. You know, we were able to put a core together of four runners to make these relay teams work.
Right. So to land the plane on this, right, I said all that to say, so the way Jamaica approaches it, their systemic approach towards it, their entire country getting behind this one singularly focused goal is why it's so different from the youth level all the way to the top. I think that's what it is. And you've heard people in track circles talk about how champs is. Think about the palpable energy that's around BEISS and multiply that by 1,000, and that's what you have at champs. Like, we don't even sustain it when we go to nationals. I always thought nationals is supposed to be the big deal. That's supposed to be the big meet because you have BEISS, you have GSSSA, you have athletes from Grand Bahama and all the other family islands coming down, who, by the way, come to nationals and sometimes dominate, but we don't place the same kind of focus and energy behind it. And I don't think, yes, it's our most popular sport, but I still don't think, I mean, yes, it's our most successful sport, but I still don't think there's the cultural buy-in to development that's needed. And that is why from the 80s, we kind of went in two different directions, right? Because it used to be, and people that were around long enough will tell you, the Bahamas and Jamaica was neck and neck in Carifta.
Yeah.
And then we just
I'm looking at now, 1983. So Bahamas won in 1980, 1981. I think at 85,
we saw the split.
Yeah, 83 and 84. So the Bahamas has won four of them.
Yep.
Four. And it was to a point where it wasn't, let's just say, neck and neck, but it was like 10-4. Which is still a big difference.
It wasn't unfathomable that we'd go out there and contend and even win sometimes, right? But yeah. now it's a foregone conclusion. It's entertaining in the sense that, look, we know what it's used for. It's one of the biggest recruitment tools for track and field athletes, not just in this region, but the world comes to Carifta, right? Mm-hmm. But there's no question about who's going to win the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, especially...
But that's what you need to sell it, I feel.
Because you also got to look at the events that come in now. And that's what people, shot put, hammer throw, whatever events that they have that we don't really do that well here, discus. Though Keyshawn was javelin. Like, javelin, our javelin community now is like...
Oh, the whole throwing community is huge now. Shout out to Blue Chips.
Yeah, we're now like... When we go to do the javelin, at least, it's just like, nah, we meddling and we meddling two people and we breaking Carifta records and that's what it is. But it's like, you don't like to take away from people, but boy, when you watch the BEISS final and they're running a 10-6, you look at it and you're just like...
But this is my thing, right? The years when it was just SAC dominating and nobody else was coming close, wasn't it so much better once QC... put more into the program and developed sure. and you actually had the rivalry. Well, we should be QC. We should be QC of the region. Why are we not QC?
I don't know why we don't... Like, yeah, no, it's a funny thing. I feel there's a lot that can be done, but then also I'm going to go with the basketball. So I guarantee there's a bunch of Bahamians out there that we have no idea that are Bahamian that could participate in these events. So as much as we have a homegrown talent here, we need to start recruiting... Broad.
Well, you know how I feel about recruiting.
Yeah.
Right. I feel like you should be recruiting from like five.
Yeah. So it's something you got to try to find the best talent outside of the country who could represent your country.
Yeah.
And bring them in because that's the only way you're going to get better because people are so used to seeing, like, you got to remember when these 400 meter runners were starting, they were seeing greatness. They were seeing people win gold medals.
That's all they knew.
So all of a sudden when they're training like, nah, I got to run a 4-4-4 because that's what Fireman runs and I got to make sure I beat that. He's in Olympic final after Olympic final. Tunique Williams-Darling wins the gold medal. She wins the Diamond League circuit. It's like these are what these athletes were seeing when we were growing up. Like even with the 100 and 200s, like with the women, we always were able to produce great sprinters. Now all of a sudden it's just like I feel like we've lost something in our sprints. And I don't know why because I feel like that's something where, how we only have two people in history run under 10 seconds?
I don't know, John. But I want to segue because we could go on with this. And the thing about it is, I know I'm going to have to revisit this conversation because it's an annual call with me and Frank Rutherford. We have it every time because I know as soon as Carifta's done, he's going to call me.
Triple jump.
Look, he's going to say, what are we doing? And then he's going to say, we used to compete with them. We used to beat them. What happened? Why are we acquiescing to the fact that, yeah, it's just a foregone conclusion. They could win like 80-something medals and we could try to get just 30. And
well, I was looking, I think they've won 700-something in total of golds alone.
Jesus.
And if you add the rest, I don't even think we're like close to them. Like it's something ridiculous with like they really just dominated. So yeah, they won 770 golds. This is as of 2019. And we won 171. Trinidad and Tobago's one. See, Trinidad and Tobago and us are fighting for second and third. Like, that's the real competition.
Wow, we's TC and St. John's and St. Anne's.
Yeah. That's how it is. Like,
all right. Okay, so we got 15 minutes left on the clock. We got to get to college hoops. It's March. Tomorrow is Selection Sunday. It's a big deal this year for Bahamians because we got a lot of people that could be active in the NCAA tournament. Starting on the women's side, obviously, Coach Yeo and Ole Miss, they are the story. Coach Yeo will be heading to, this will be her third NCAA tournament, I think, since she's been to Ole Miss, maybe her third or fourth trip, whatever it is. So awaiting to see what their seeding will be. And we know how tough the SEC is, right? The SEC is the toughest conference in women's basketball. But Coach Yeo has gotten Ole Miss to a point where, yeah, they're always going to be contenders. They're going to beat a few ranked teams. I think they beat two ranked teams.
Yeah, this will be her fourth in a row.
They beat two ranked teams this year. So interested to see what the seeding is going to look like for Ole Miss and for Coach Yeo and for her to be able to make this run.
And this is the most interesting thing about seeding. They always talk about you have to play a tough schedule.
And she plays the toughest. And they played
one of the toughest schedules you could imagine.
The second game of the season, they went up against USC.
Yeah.
Like right out the gate, we play in Juju in France.
Exactly. So I've seen sites where they've projected her as a 4 seed, and they'll be hosting a...
That'll be big time.
Yeah.
If they can get a regional four,
yeah,
that's huge.
So that's what I've been seeing. And you hope that Coach Yeo changed the trend of scheduling, because a lot of people love those cupcakes to do this and to do that. But she was scheduling, like she says it in our press conferences all the time. You can watch them all on YouTube pretty much.
I know a lot of places where you could watch them all too.
Yeah. So you pretty much could watch what she said. And she says the administration and her took a firm stance this year on scheduling the best. Because they say, why are we going to not try to play the best? Because as we say with the beach soccer, let's get these out the way early and lose. Mm-hmm. If we're going to lose them, let's get them out the way early and win so we know what that feeling is.
And the thing about it is you kind of have to play that schedule just to prepare yourself to play in the SEC, because look at what's there. You got the number one ranked team in the country.
I think they have like 13 teams ranked or something like that. Like
it's ridiculous the gauntlet that you have to run through in the SEC. So to even be able to compete against that, your non-conference schedule has got to be insane. And that's what it was for Ole Miss. Let's go over to the men's side where it's a lot going on. Of course. VJ Edgecombe and Baylor, AJ Storr in Kansas, out of the Big 12 tournament, but you know they will be waiting on Selection Sunday, so it'll be we got to watch the brackets to
just
see eight where they
SEC
go.
SEC women's teams rank.
Eight SEC women's teams from number one straight, and this is what you got to compete against.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you got to compete against. But yeah, so VJ and AJ, we will be awaiting to see where seeding places them tomorrow on Selection Sunday. Dayton Albury and Utah State will also be in the tournament.
I've read that they're pretty much locks. I mean, the whole season they've been borderline top 25. It's just they happen to like play the best team in the Mountain West and lose those games and get knocked out. But their game started like at midnight last night.
Yeah.
Did they win?
that is the most 10th year seniors thing we've ever done.
Because
I'll filibuster and you go ahead to that. And also Frederick King and Creighton always.
Oh, there was like a fight after that game.
Frederick King and Creighton always up there in terms of, I think one year they were up to number two in the nation at one point. But anyway, so they're going to, Utah State's still going to be in the tournament. Creighton is also going to be in the tournament. So those
Valentino's.
Four, Valentino Simon and Omaha, already booked their ticket to the NCAA tournament by winning the Summit League. So we've got five reasons to watch. Well, that's just on the men's side. We've got six reasons to watch the NCAA tournament. We didn't even get to the other assistant coaches on the men's side. Of course, Mikhail McLean, assistant coach for the Kentucky Wildcats. And can't say enough about the job that he's done.
Okay, so Utah State's on the real bubble now because it's Boise State, Colorado State for the Mountain West champion.
They need Colorado State to win that game. Because Colorado State's the 2 seed in, I think the 2 seed in the conference. Colorado State is always a team that beat them.
Because it's New Mexico State was the 1 seed.
But I'm saying you want the higher seed to win because they're probably more of a shoe-in anyway. You don't want the lower seed to get the automatic bid.
Yeah, they beat New Mexico by 3 points last night. So, no, they have the same record. So, anyways, it's going to be interesting. I still think that.
But this is the drama
of
why.
March.
This is the drama of March, the drama of why we sit glued in front of the TVs on Selection Sunday.
Yeah, so I really feel if Colorado State wins, then it'll be Utah State, Colorado State, and New Mexico State from the Mountain West. You can't. discredit an entire season off.
And they have a pretty good Ken Palm rating.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty certain that although now if they lost early in the Mountain West, it would have been an issue. But I'm pretty sure Dayton Allgren and Utah State will be in the NCAA tournament. And his first year with the program transitioning from Queens to Utah State he's had a seamless transition. And he's worked his way now into the starting lineup. We all know what VJ Edgecombe is. VJ Edgecombe's a one and done. VJ is the next one. So listen, his place in the lottery already solidified.
He's a
top five pick in the draft. It's just a matter of where he's going to go. But
anywhere but Charlotte.
But March is always an opportunity for another star turn, for a chance for that to go to another level. Look, Cooper Flagg is injured. I don't think Cooper Flagg is going to play in the NCAA tournament because why?
I don't think it would make sense if he did.
Yeah, he's not going to. So here's the thing, and we've seen it happen. If Baylor has a run, and for Baylor to have a run, VJ is going to have to be amazing. So those two things coincide. Baylor has a run. VJ is amazing. We could start shifting this conversation from top five to top three. To a certain few talking heads saying, I don't know. Are we sure Cooper Flagg's number one? I could see it happening.
I mean, I didn't even need the NCAA tournament to come in next week to say he's a top three pick.
Yeah, but I mean, we don't need it, John.
And then I don't need it the following week to say he's the consensus number one overall pick.
We don't need it. Obviously, we don't need it. We talking about the other people need it.
It ain't important.
I mean, they're kind of important. They have a bigger reach than us.
That's fine.
Sometimes they have four calls.
Real ones, no.
We had two.
Real ones, no.
Yeah, real ones do know. And AJ, of course, going from third program in 3 years, St. John's, Wisconsin, now at Kansas, the profile continues to get bigger. Going to a program who, theoretically speaking, you would assume always has a chance at the national title because that's what Bill Self and Kansas are. Has not been the season that Kansas expected, the season that AJ expected. But, I mean, it's been a season. The last two games really show you how it's been a season of up and downs, right? Goes out, scores a season high, 19. Next game, pretty much glued to the bench. They're eliminated by Arizona.
And to me, that's program fit, I feel more, because we know what AJ can do. We've seen what AJ has done in the Big East, in the Big Ten, and now he's in the Big 12. We've seen shades of what he can do. But I really feel that it's like what you say, the transition of Dayton Allbury was seamless.
Yeah.
Like he was able to go in there. As big as a recruit that AJ was, AJ had to learn a different way of basketball. It wasn't now all of a sudden, I'm the man.
He was a high usage rate guy.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what it was at Wisconsin.
Yeah. So now all of a sudden he has to get used to being off the ball, passing the ball, reading the defense to be able to make the right read. Because if you don't make the right reads with Bill Self, you see this chair I'm sitting on?
And defensively. So you got to become a better player defensively. But
he has all the tools to do it. Like, that's what people... Like, when you watch him in a practice, he has all the tools to be such a great defensive player. It's just that I feel he just got to... Once he can hone into... Everyone knows what he can do offensively. He doesn't have to score another basket, in my opinion, to show what he could do offensively. Now, if he goes on the defensive side and starts averaging, like, two steals a game... and starts disrupting like a field goal percentage, then people are going to start saying, you know what? No, this is going to be a high quality first round pick.
Yeah, because I think him going to Kansas, most people expected, well, yeah, this is the draft. This is to not just compete for a national title, but to improve draft stock. And I don't know if that happened this year.
No, draft stock definitely wasn't improved this year at all.
Expect him to be back.
That's the next year. Like, you have to go back to school. And you have to produce. And you remember, you don't have to average 20 points a game.
No.
Look at VJ. I mean, VJ started out the season and everyone.
Very.
I don't know. Few. And this is why I keep saying this is the only people that matter who are talking. Because never once did we say, oh, it's a problem that he's not averaging 18 points a game.
I always thought he was number one.
Yeah. It's like you knew what he was doing at the beginning of the season. If you know VJ, VJ is the greatest team player you could ask for at that at such a high profile athlete. Like, he doesn't care about, I need 20 points, I need 6 assists. He cares about winning the game. That's all he cares about. And if coach tells him to do something, he's going to go and say, all right, coach, I got you. Now, The difference with VJ is VJ got that dog. When VJ decides saying, coach, you need to give me the ball and run some stuff through me now.
So there's times when he says, I got you. And then there's times when he says, you need to- I got us.
Exactly.
There's a difference.
Big difference.
He's number one. Cooper Flag. I just think the circumstances are right for this to possibly be his moment, because so much of recruiting and so much of draft stock is people being prisoner of the moment, which could work to your detriment or to your benefit.
But okay, here's where you gotta look at NBA scouts, right? VJ twists his ankle one game. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
He was out for what game?
Yeah.
Cooper Flag twists his ankle. He ain't built the same.
He built the same. And also, on top of that, remember that video that went viral? I cannot wait until they play each other again, because I just want VJ to ask Cooper Flag, who you think you talking to? Who? That's all I want.
VJ will give you the platform to say what you want to say.
I mean, he already know the vibes. He already knows.
Yeah, trust me. Whatever you want to say, and we'll back it. We don't care what. Mm-mm.
So tomorrow, selection Sunday, and for the women's selection Monday.
Did they change it to Sunday as well?
Maybe. Anyway, but over the course of the next 2 days, we will know exactly what is going on with the NCAA tournament. So stay plugged into us on our social medias. Watch us on the news. Y'all know where to find us every weekday. And we will continue
on Sunday now,
updating you on this, because NCAA tournament is one of our favorite sporting events of the year. To have Bahamians involved in it is just an extra plus for us. That is kind of the genesis where all of this stuff even began for us. So we are going to talk ad nauseum about the tournament next week and for the foreseeable future, as long as Bahamians are around.
Only thing on your TV. Okay. We're going to take it to the Buddy Talk now, because we got like 2 minutes left.
Oh, I forgot about that.
You think Buddy could be playing dominoes while watching the NCAA tournament?
How is Jimmy Butler making this big of a difference?
Jimmy Butler's good, you know.
Jimmy Butler's really good. And the honeymoon stage with Jimmy Butler is also really good for teams.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It's great for Buddy.
There's nothing worse than Jimmy Butler trying to prove a point.
That's true. He is so driven by spite. And you know what makes him one of my favorite players? Because it's also one of my driving forces that leads me to every decision
I make. When Buddy keeps beating him in dominoes, then he's going to have more spite, and he's going to use. See that? Buddy is beating him in dominoes.
They've developed kind of a Buddy Cop movie kind of thing, right?
I would tell you this, right? For anyone that knows Buddy or doesn't know Buddy, Buddy is the most enjoyable person to be around. Like, and it doesn't matter if you're a player.
You know how you could tell he's a great locker room guy? And I wish I could remember who tweeted this, but even in his biggest struggles since he's joined the Warriors, never been an issue with any of the teammates saying a word.
Buddy not only is a glue guy, but Buddy wants to have fun and make sure that teammates have fun, make sure that staff has fun. Like, Buddy is, I almost feel like Buddy loves basketball so much, and he cannot have a bad day at work because he's playing basketball and making a lot of money.
Oh, so that cliche is like a real thing. If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. I wonder what that's like. Figure it out soon. We'll figure it out by next week.
Yeah.
That'll do it for this episode of The Accredited. We'll be back next week. There'll be a lot to talk about. We'll talk about going to the World Cup, talk about the NCAA tournament. Y'all be good. Stay safe this week.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.